The power of the presidential pardon has our national attention now more than ever. You look at the pardons from outgoing President Joseph Biden and incoming President Donald Trump. In the new book, The Pardon, The Politics of Presidential Mercy, Jeffrey Toobin, New York Times bestselling author and CNN legal commentator, gives us a narrative of the most controversial presidential pardon in American history, Gerald Ford's pardon of Richard Nixon, revealing the profound implications for our current political landscape and how it already is affecting the legacies of both Presidents Biden and Trump. Jeffrey Toobin is a CNN legal commentary and the author of 10 books, including The Nine Inside the Secret World of the Supreme Court. It is a great pleasure to welcome Jeffrey Toobin back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
I'm great, Joe. Hi.
It's really nice to have you on the show. Give us a sense of what brought this book, because obviously I assume that this was in the works well before, because it just had to be, well in the works before the latest shower of pardons that we saw at the end of the Biden administration and the beginning of the Trump administration. So what got you onto this and wanting to explore it further?
Well, I've always been interested in pardons because they're an anomaly in the constitutional system. You know, we know that the Constitution is based on the idea of checks and balances. And the pardon is an exception. There are no checks on the president's power. There's nothing Congress can do about a pardon. There's nothing that the legislature can do. And in the 2024 campaign, Trump said pretty clearly he was going to pardon the January 6 people. And Kamala Harris was clearly going to be under pressure to pardon Trump if she had won. So I knew pardons would be in the air in early 2025. I didn't realize quite how much, but that was the combination of factors that led me to write the pardon.
When it comes to the law, what should we know about pardons and what they allow for? Why they were designed in the first place?
They were designed for a couple of reasons. One was simply as a vehicle for presidents to exercise mercy. The pardon power is the power most directly descended from the royal prerogatives of the kings of England. I mean, there is no doubt that there is a, you know, that's what the pardon power is modeled on. But at the same time as mercy, there's also an opportunity for presidents and kings to exercise power and reward their friends and punish their enemies through the use of pardons. And that tension between mercy and enhancing the president's power is something that's been present throughout American history.
Talk about the, I mean, you just touched on this, but the founding fathers and giving the power of the pardon to the president is what they had in mind, what we see now.
Well, I think a lot of people foresaw even then that pardons would lead to controversy. I'm not sure they realized quite how much controversy, and particularly in this, you know, what's happened in the past few months. But there were framers of the Constitution who thought this was an excessive power because presidents would use it to enhance their own power. And that's something that some people were worried about. But Alexander Hamilton, who believed in a strong presidency, prevailed in the debate by saying that presidents could use this power both to temper unjust sentences and also to calm roiled political waters. And it's important to point out that has been a good use of the pardon. George Washington pardoned the people involved in the Whiskey Rebellion in the late 18th century. Abraham Lincoln issued an amnesty to Confederates who were willing to support the Union. Jimmy Carter issued an amnesty to Vietnam War draft evaders who moved to Canada, all of which I think were good uses of the pardon. But that doesn't mean, obviously, that all the uses have been good.
You spend a great deal of the book. Obviously, you talk about the founding fathers and how we got this on the books in the first place. But most of the book is given over to looking at what you refer to as the most controversial president pardon in American history, and that is Gerald Ford's pardon of Richard Nixon, August 9th, 1974. Nixon resigns, and this is after Watergate, the Watergate scandal. And then a month later, Ford is there and says, okay, I'm going to pardon you. Give us a sense of, first of all, why that's such a good case to look at for the body of this book, but also why that has become and will probably always be, if not the, one of the most controversial presidential pardons in American history.
Well, you know, the thesis of the book is really that pardons are X-rays into the souls of presidents. And the drama between Ford and Nixon illustrates that perfectly. You know, Ford was, in comparison, a babe in the woods, someone who really didn't engage in power politics and corruption the way Nixon did. And Nixon was the ultimate schemer and Machiavellian. And the evil genius of the Nixon story was how he somehow created a scenario where Ford felt obligated to pardon Nixon and almost felt like he had to convince Nixon to accept a pardon. And that story of role reversal was really just an extraordinary behind-the-scenes story that I was really privileged to tell, and it's really quite a tale.
I mean, you talk about just that line that we know so well of "My fellow Americans, our long national nightmare is over" from Ford, and it was very powerful and certainly resonates today. Yet Ford felt it was too mean to Richard Nixon.
That's right. I mean, that was a really interesting story that I learned, is that, you know, his speechwriter put in that line. And he had to convince Ford to use it because he thought he thought it was too mean to call Nixon's presidency a nightmare. But it turns out to be the most famous thing Ford ever said. And it was very popular, and the country was really healing during August. Nixon resigned on August 9th, and the pardon was only a month later, September 9th. And Ford's popularity plummeted 40 points overnight because people saw it as crooked and preemptive and basically giving Nixon a break that he didn't deserve. And I continue to believe that it was unfortunate in that regard.
You write in the book that here is Nixon, who very much wants a pardon, but is pretending that he doesn't want a pardon. And then Ford wants to give the pardon and is trying to figure out how to make that happen without the detrimental impact that we ultimately saw.
And it's just an incredible role reversal when you think about it. I mean, who's the supplicant here? You know, Richard Nixon was looking at being prosecuted, and Ford somehow convinces himself that he has to convince Nixon to take this gift. It's really an extraordinary story.
You make this point, and it does make sense, I think, that Ford is looking at this, among other reasons, of course, but Ford is looking at this as, all right, I'm going to spare the country. We need to move past Watergate. We need to move on. How did he miscalculate that?
He sure did. I think one way was by keeping the decision to pardon so tightly held among a very small group of people, and he didn't offer any trial balloons. He didn't test the reaction of Republican office holders, which is what experienced leaders do when they're making a controversial decision. He got involved in the groupthink of this small group of people around him and, vastly miscalculated both on the merits, I think, and certainly on the political impact.
Jeffrey Toobin is our guest. The name of the book is The Pardon, The Politics of Presidential Mercy. You said a moment ago that pardons are x-rays into the souls of presidents. So with the pardons that came from President Biden on his way out, beginning with, and perhaps most importantly, with the pardon of his own son, what does that x-ray tell us?
Well, that I think Joe Biden's love of his son overcame his good judgment and sense of equal protection of the law, which is a bedrock principle of our system. Hunter Biden was convicted in Delaware and pleaded guilty in California to serious crimes. He was dealt with harshly in the criminal justice system, but so were a lot of people. And they didn't get presidential pardons because their father wasn't president. And I think that's an example of how the pardon power can be misused because, the powerful people shouldn't get special treatment. And that's what Hunter Biden got.
As far as the Trump pardons, especially with January 6th, it's what we expected. I mean, he ran on it.
Well, it's what we expected, but that doesn't make them any less egregious.
Yes.
I mean, the idea that you can commit violent crimes against police officers in an effort to overturn a legitimate election and then be rewarded with it by the president is just an appalling misuse of the power. I mean, yes, the president had the right to do it, but that doesn't make it right.
Jeffrey Toobin is the author of The Pardon, The Politics of Presidential Mercy. Always a pleasure, sir. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book, The Pardon, The Politics of Presidential Mercy. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.